love that part of the song. It says, the Lord is in this place. You know, the psalmist wrote in chapter 122, verse 1, he says, I'm rejoicing today because they told me we get to go to the house of the Lord. Yes. Church, he's rejoicing because the Lord is in this place. He's here. There's freedom in the air. As we celebrate our independence this July 4th, the more important freedom that we're talking about is the freedom that Jesus Christ gives you and I, because the scripture says he came to set us free. Amen. Why? The Lord's in this place today, church. If you just walked in here for the first time or turned on to our broadcast, so many people joined our broadcast this morning. We appreciate that. Thank you, because the Lord is in this place. And the psalmist says, I'm rejoicing because I get to go. Church, is that you today? Are you rejoicing because you got to show up today? Give a praise offering today and let them know that you're rejoicing. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you that we have this awesome opportunity to go into your house, Lord. And today, Lord God, it looks so different than it did years ago. Today, we can watch it online and participate. We can physically go in and participate. Lord God, we just can participate whenever and wherever we are because you're in this place. Lord God, today the scripture teaches us that you're inside of us, that the temple is us. And Lord God, thank you for that. Lord, thank you for showing up today. Lord God, thank you for transforming lives today. Thank you, Lord God, that there are people that says, I'm going to get baptized today and have a proclamation of my faith. The Lord's in this place, and we thank you for that, Lord. Father, have your way today in this place. In Jesus' name I pray, and all Cross Point Church family said, amen. Amen. Greet somebody as you're seated. Tell them good morning. Thank you, sir. Good morning, Cross Point family. If you are back from vacation, thank you for coming back. If you're not here today, thank you for joining us online. I see those people that are on vacation joining us online. If you're getting ready to take a summer road trip today, tomorrow, this week, we just pray for you as you do your travels, but we pray as you travel, we pray as you come back, because the Lord's still in this place, right? If you just got out of the hospital, I know some of you just got out of the hospital, welcome to Cross Point Church. Thanks for joining us this morning. Those that had some situations this past week, we had several. We just want to say thank you, Lord God, that you got them through. That included our family, because my mother-in-law was in the hospital. We thank you for the touch on her life and several others that were in the hospital with surgeries, like Sarah and Sonia and others. God is in the house, church. God is in the house. As you know, I'm Pastor Brad Myers, lead pastor here. Thank you, Mike Snodgrass, my associate, for one of the associates, for giving us great announcements. I love how Pastor Mike does announcements, right? Yes, he does. I mean, he is so full of enthusiasm for those announcements. Now, you know, Nicole and I used to do the announcements here, and I just couldn't get as excited as Mike gets about announcements, right? I tell you what, it's great. Thank you so much, Pastor Mike, Pastor Christine, Pastor Amber, the staff at Cross Point Church. We are like a few days away from the middle of summer, right? That's kind of crazy to make, you know, you start up and think about it. It's kind of like crazy, right? We're almost halfway through the summer. And the only reason, church, we're halfway through the summer is because in Canton, Ohio, you only get 2.5 months of summer, right? So we're like right there. But thank you so much. We are in a series, and it's called Summer Road Trip. It's a two-part series that we started last week, and it's all about getting free. We have some people today at the end of our service that are going to proclaim today in front of you publicly and everybody online that they are free, because it's Baptism Sunday. Amen. And they're going to proclaim today that they are free. It's a public proclamation of their freedom, that they've accepted Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, and they are free. And we get to celebrate freedom this week. July 4th, Independence Day, is on Thursday. You get to celebrate freedom. Now, Pastor Mike said, don't blow off your hands or your feet or anything like that, right? Pastor Mike ordered, like, the biggest firecrackers you could order, right? And he's got them stuffed in his office. Don't you, Mike? No, he doesn't. He left them at home, right? Right? Hey, it's a great day. Let's go through what we talked about last week, folks. We talked about running free. And let me do a little bit of a commercial here with you, a little bit of a review. This freedom is just talks about liberty. Remember, we talked about that last week. We talked about liberty. Liberty, being free, right? And we talk about that, and we know what freedom means in physical sense here in our country. And every year, we celebrate freedom in the various different types of ways. Isn't it good to be free today, church? Amen. It's good to be free. Freedom in America is viewed as a license to do what we please. When no one tells us what to do. Now, we had a few kids running around our house over the years, right? Now, they're all older, and we heard this phrase, don't tell me what to do, right? Ever hear that, mom, dad? Don't tell me what to do. You know, that means I know what I'm doing, so don't tell me what to do. That's kind of how the attitude we have as a country, don't tell me what to do, because we are a free country. We have this attitude. It means I'm free to be me. But that's kind of an egocentric idea, like, you know, I get to do what I want, and then we ask what's in it for me, right? We talked about that last week, and we talked about the Apostle Paul addressed some of this, and we dove into that last week when he wrote Galatians, and he wrote to the churches in Galatia, modern-day Turkey. He wrote a letter, and he said, listen, this is what I think this looks like. You're not kind of doing it right. We talked about that last week. They were navigating the law, the Mosaic law, the way they used to do it, the rules and regulations. We don't like rules and regulations. We don't like to be told what to do. And they were living by a lot of rules and regulations back then. The Apostle Paul shows up and says, I have a different way now. It's called grace. Believe in Jesus Christ and you'll be set free. And those churches struggled with that. They struggled with living with rules and regulations. And they struggle with this new idea, this new concept of freedom, liberty, where it says all you have to do is proclaim Jesus and you are free. They struggled. And we talked about that. And they continued to have these thoughts and these competitions and compromises back and forth. They didn't know what to do. And they would have these compromises and competitions. Like they would say, I like this, but I don't like this, right? That's the compromise side. And they would battle with that. And they felt on the compromise side, they say, I have to give up something for you to get something, right? That's the compromise. Well, I don't believe what you're doing. I don't believe what you're doing. So there was a struggle there. And so they competed sometimes, and that never works out, especially when it comes to law and grace. You know, there's a battle there a little bit. You can't really compete on that. You really can't have a compromise on that. But they tried. So he writes the letter and tries to work it out with them, make them understand that it's different now, right? And his new concept of freedom is in Galatians 5:13. It won't be on the screen, I don't believe, but it says it like this. Serve one another humbly in love. This is what I want you to do. Serve each other humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. He boils all that law down to just love your neighbor as yourself. There's no egocentric attitude there. There's nothing for me. You know, it's all about serving somebody else, right? It certainly is a new way of doing things. And this new way of doing things, this new freedom embraced two things. It encouraged the use of their God-given talents and their skills and their gifts for somebody else. They're going to give it to somebody else. Much like we do around this church, we serve one another. We give our gifts, talents, and skills, and we serve somebody else. It also encouraged them to love and serve each other so those people would love and serve them back. What a novel idea, right? And even today in our country, we struggle with that because we still have this attitude, what's in it for me? What do I get out of it? And Paul says, no, it's not about what you get out of it. It's about what you're going to give into it. And so he started to preach that and teach that and write the letter back to them and say, hey, listen, this is the way it goes. The thought was like this, we introduced last week. It says, when we live in love and service to others, we find ourselves becoming individuals that God created each of us uniquely to be. You're uniquely you, right? Boy, it's hard to say. Our own personal fulfillment then is the unexpected byproduct of that. And that's called Christian freedom. You still get something. You get Christian freedom. And that's what he was introducing to them back then. And that's what we talk about to this very day. So today, as we wrap up this two-part series, I have entitled it The Sound of Freedom. And it's because today is Baptism Sunday. We do Baptism Sunday at Cross Point twice a year, mostly late spring, early summer. We're pushing into the midsummer and then late in the year. And you're going to hear what I'm preaching about today. You're going to hear in a few short minutes the sound of freedom ringing in Cross Point Church. You're going to hear it and you're going to understand it. It's going to come alive to you that people are sounding in freedom. You know, now, do you remember here just recently the movie that came out, The Sound of Freedom? How many saw that movie, right? You saw that movie. If you didn't see that movie, you should probably go see it. It's a great movie. It's about this federal agent who discovers this young boy is held in a child trafficking situation. He's imprisoned in that. And this federal agent busts him out, right? And during that process, he finds out, I'm not going to ruin it for you, he finds out that his sister is also held captive, but she's in Colombia. And this guy has to decide if he is going to risk his career, his life, because he wasn't being dispatched down there, he wasn't being told to go down there. He had to decide, I know someone is held in bondage in this trafficking situation. I have this responsibility. I've got to go rescue her. So he quits his job and he heads down there, risks his life because he's got no real backup from the government. He goes down to rescue this young child. Why? Because he wanted to hear the sounds of freedom. And he had this intense feeling of responsibility in his life. I feel responsible to go rescue her. And so he does. Church, it's the same feeling the Apostle Paul had back in the day when he wrote the letter. He had this intense feeling of responsibility to those churches in Galatia. He said, I've got to get them on the right track. And he wrote the letter because he had this intense responsibility to help them become free and understand what that meant. Free from the law, the way they've been living, make them understand the transition into the new part of grace, the new grace that he was introducing. And so he wrote about that responsibility, and he wrote about the opportunity that God gave him to go and write and do it all. So these two core things show up in his writing, responsibility and opportunity. Church, the responsibility to us today is the same. The opportunity God grants us all the time. It's just a matter of whether we're going to move on that. Right? What a responsible thing to do, right? Great opportunity. Let me tell you what responsibility means, a presented obligation, right? So responsibility means I'm going to present to you this obligation. You should probably do it. And as a result, you get this opportunity. Opportunity means a situation or condition to receive favor. And the Apostle Paul was writing about that to make those people at those churches in Galatia understand this is what's going on. So let's jump in. Galatians 5:13. He starts like this. He goes, for you have been called to live in freedom. You're called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Church, right there is the opportunity he presents. You're called into freedom. That's your destiny, to be free. Okay? Then he goes on, but don't use this freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. It's not what it's for. It's not so you can go out and do whatever you want. He says, instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. He introduces responsibility. There's an opportunity, and then there's a responsibility. And he makes this introduction. Peter says it like this in 1 Peter 2:16. He wrote it like this. For you are free, yet you are God's slave. That's the responsibility you have now. Because of your freedom, you are now slaves to God. That means you follow him willingly. It doesn't mean he lords over you uncontrollably. You willingly enslave yourself to follow heaven, right? And then it says, so don't use that freedom as an excuse to do evil. So the question I ask today is, are we free to do whatever we want? And of course, the answer is no. You're not free to do whatever you want. And why is that? Because Christian freedom comes with responsibility. And he's teaching that. It comes with responsibility. Now, we know we still have laws of the land that we have to follow. He knew there was laws of the land that they had to follow. And as good citizens, they would follow those laws, as long as they didn't go contrary to God's laws, right? Because we don't want to infringe on other people's freedom. We don't want to push ourselves and infringe on other people's freedom because we're free. That's not what it's for. Nor do we have this unbridled freedom, which is you can do whatever you want and it doesn't matter what the consequences are. And that just leads to chaos in an uncontrolled society, not only back then, but also today. So he's sorting all this out. And you know something, folks? We are still trying to sort this out today. We're still working on it. Why? It's a work in progress, right? It's a work in progress. But this Christian freedom means free will, as you've been taught before. That means we decide. You get to decide if you're going to follow heaven or not. Several adults and some students are going to show you today that they have made a decision. They got to decide, and they made a decision. And that sound of freedom is going to ring throughout our church in a few minutes. So the Apostle Paul says, hey, you know, you've got to protect this freedom that I'm introducing to you. You've got to safeguard it. So you've got to talk about it. And so how do we, church, today, how do we protect the spiritual Christian freedom that the Apostle Paul introduced to us? Well, he introduces in the Galatians 5:16, that you got to live empowered by the Spirit. And it reads like this. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The introduction of the comparison between the law, the sinful nature, and you, your personal sinful nature, and the Spirit to lead you to grace. Drawing you to Jesus Christ. See, that's why you just can't compromise that. That's why there can't be some competition there as they tried back in the day. Because you just can't. You either do it or you don't, right? And he talks about that. So I got a question this morning. And you may have the answer, and maybe you don't, but where did the Apostle Paul get all this wisdom from? Pastor, of course, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the Holy Spirit. But you know, as I dive in wondering how that process unfolded, I found some very interesting things, and I just want to share those with you this morning. You know, we've talked about the Apostle Paul. We've talked about his conversion, his meeting of Jesus Christ, and what happened there. And I started diving deeper to go, you know, I wonder what the thought process was in his head. What did he do immediately following and why? I just got to thinking. And it's really interesting what pops up. And, you know, so we know the story that Paul is on what's called the Damascus Road. He's a Christian hater. But his name was Saul at the time, and he's a Christian hater. He's a persecutor. He's killing Christians. He just did not like the Christians of the day. And Jesus met him there, right? We know the story, right? You know the story. And if you don't, here's the story. He's on this road, and he's going about his business to kill Christians. And he's going town to town. He's going to do whatever he can. And Jesus shows up and confronts him and starts asking questions. And the encounter happens between Jesus and Saul, later renamed to Paul. There's an encounter there. It's a very powerful, and we don't have the time to read all those scriptures. We've read them many times in this church before, but there's a situation there that takes place. And he realizes that he's been going down the wrong road. And the sound of freedom shows up. And Jesus Christ confronts him with that sound of freedom. And they have that encounter. And it makes me wonder what happened immediately after and why. Why did Apostle Paul have so much wisdom to write so much of the New Testament text? And I call this the Paul's conversion prayer. Many of you understand what I mean. The first thing Paul did after meeting Jesus Christ, he said this prayer that everybody today in Cross Point Church should say, everybody online, we should pray this prayer. It's only 8 words long. And I want to go through it with you. It's 8 words. And this is the wisdom that started to show up in the Apostle Paul's life and why. And why people today are free. And the prayer starts like this, Acts 9:6. It says, Lord, what do you want me to do? 8 words. Lord, what do you want me to do? To prayer, he prays. Lord, what do you want me to do? He starts off by saying, Lord. Now this guy recognizes Lord. And he says, Lord, and he means it. Many of us today say, Lord, as an afterthought. This guy just had an encounter. This guy was just set free. There were some sounds of freedom showing up on that road. And the first thing that showed up was, he says, Lord. Lord. And he means it. Unlike the religious leaders of that day, Luke writes about them in chapter 6, 46, it reads, so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, Jesus says. Why? When you don't do what I say, why bother? That's the question. Why do you even do it? Why? Don't call me Lord if you're not going to listen. But Paul screams out, Lord. Means it, and he's going to listen. And he prays that I'm going to listen. A lot of times we scream, Lord, but we don't listen. And why is that? Because we don't like what the Lord has to say. We turn it off, right? If it doesn't match the filter that we want, we're not going to listen. So we'll scream out, Lord, we may even mean it, but we're not going to listen if it's not what we want to do. Paul does it different. See, the reason many Christians are so powerless today is because they have never truly come to the place of surrender, saying, God, you are Lord of my life now. You'll watch Baptism Sunday today in a few minutes, and you'll see young people and old people alike. They are saying, God, you are Lord of my life now. I didn't look this way yesterday or maybe a week or a month or a year ago, but today you are Lord of my life now. And Paul found divine purpose that day. Acts 9:6, Lord, what do you want? Lord, what do you want? I'm teaching you how to do it. Lord, I mean it. What do you want? That means there's divine purpose. There's a plan. You're sitting here or watching online. That is you and I. Some of us have asked that, and some of us are walking in that. Some are still searching for that. Our youngest is still searching for that. But I know what he's doing today. Here's what our youngest is doing. He is saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? He doesn't even know the dynamic of that. He's just doing it. Lord, what do you want? I know it's something. I just don't know what it is. And I'm willing to wait until you tell me because I just called upon the Lord and I mean it. Divine purpose is showing up. Church, if you're sitting here today, are watching online and you are struggling with this freedom, if you're struggling with your walk with Christ, you've never had a walk with Christ, I am teaching you today what to do. To ring out sounds of freedom in your life. Sounds of freedom. See, God has the right to your life and a divine purpose for your life. We must realize this divine purpose may go far beyond our ability to understand it. Right? Now, if you're sitting here today and you are going to be baptized, this is your time to head to the baptismal. So make your way out of the sanctuary, go down the main hall, come in the back, because this is your time in a very few short moments for the sound of freedom to ring in Cross Point Church. And the Apostle Paul saying this prayer, but he doesn't understand everything that's going to happen. And he says, what do you want? Why does he ask the question? Because he doesn't know. So he's going to Lord to get the answer, right? He recognizes something else. He recognizes to complete this, he has to act on something. Paul must now actively participate. You and I must actively participate. So we have to say, Lord, and mean it. We have to say, what do you want? There's a divine purpose for me and you. There's a purpose for something in our lives. And it's not to go to work every day. It's not just you have to do all those things to support you and your family. But there's something better. Lord, what do you want? And then he adds the active participation part of that scripture. Me to do. He recognizes that heaven has an assignment and he's got to do it. Now that happens to us, right? What happens to you and I? You know, we always look for the big thing. We are always looking for the best thing that we think is. We're always looking for some grandiose thing to do. God's going to make me a worldwide evangelist. Our daughter prophetically said to me when she was 10 years old, Dad, one day you're going to be preaching to the world. I had no idea what that meant. Guess what? We checked last month. There are 12 countries watching this broadcast. I'm preaching to the world, right? I'm preaching to the world. We didn't know what the internet was back then. We didn't understand that we could push out a broadcast. We didn't understand that people could grab a device and start watching online because it didn't look like that years ago. Church, God's got a divine purpose for you. It doesn't matter if you don't understand it yet. It doesn't matter if you don't see it yet. All you have to do is actively participate like the Apostle Paul does. He didn't understand what he was going to be doing. How does God answer Paul? Like, what do you want me to do? God did not say, you're going to write 2/3 of the New Testament. You're going to evangelize throughout the lands. You're going to change people's lives, transform people. He didn't say any of that. That's what Paul did, right? The greatest evangelist ever lived, right? Next to Billy Graham? No, just kidding. That would be the other way, right? Paul was the greatest evangelist ever. He didn't tell him anything like that. He didn't say you're going to do all these great things. See, we always want the whole package. We always want the answers up front. That's kind of like who we are, like human nature. But God does answer. Acts 9:6, he says, now get up, go into the city, then I'll tell you what to do. Wow. I got to keep going on this journey. And I still don't get it. I still don't understand. Now, you know the story, blindness and all that. But I got to go. If you want to know what Christian freedom looks like, just take the first step. Just do the first thing. And today, that's baptism. The scripture teaches us that when you call upon the name of the Lord, like Paul did, it's followed now by a public proclamation called baptism. Do you think God downloaded into the hearts and the minds and the spirits of all those baptismal candidates exactly what they're going to do from this day forward? Do you think they know exactly where they're going to go, what they're going to do, the lives they're going to change, how they're going to move, how they're going to... No. He says, let's just get you through baptism. Some of them may have more to their story, that they know some things that God's told them. Others just don't know anything. But here's what they do know. God told them to get baptized. God told the Apostle Paul, just go into town. And I'll start filling you in once you get there. Now, a decision came. Free will shows up. He had to decide, am I going to go into town or not? This is a scary situation. He could not go into town, or he could go into town. When the Lord Jesus Christ meets you on the road, and you have an encounter with heaven, and Jesus says, hey, listen, go into town and wait for me to give you further instructions. I got a feeling you're going to go into town. Right? You're going to watch people that are taking the next step of freedom. You're going to watch people here that are moving forward in their walk with Jesus Christ and making a public proclamation that they have been changed and transformed. See, God doesn't lay everything out before us because he knows we wouldn't be able to handle it. See, we need to seize the opportunity and take the responsibility just to take the next step. See, some of you are here today, you have no idea what I'm talking about because you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe some of the people that are watching online don't know either. So your next step would be just to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. As you feel inside of you that there's this prodding, there's this movement. You've been searching for something, but it's just not come to fruition yet. You just can't find it. And the Apostle Paul prayed, what do you want me to do? And you pray that prayer, God, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? And I believe the Holy Spirit starts to prod you and move you to, you need to first accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And once that happens, I'll give you the next step. Once that happens, I'll tell you to go into town and hold on, I'm going to give you more information. I'll give you more stuff. Maybe you've already accepted Christ as Savior. You've already been baptized and you're going through life, right? You're going through life and you're stuck. You just don't know. I'm going to challenge you today, folks, to say the same prayer. To say the same type of prayer. Lord, what do you want me to do? And I'll encourage you to say that because it's going to happen. God will show up for you. And he may just tell you one simple thing. He may just tell you one thing. Just do this and sit tight. And be ready to do the next thing. You may be there today. You may be walking through the whole gamut of what God has already called you to do and you have responded. Just because there's pastors in the house doesn't mean we're not on the same road, right, Mike? We're not. We're still crying out, God, what do you want us to do now? Where do you want us to go? Where do you want Cross Point Church to go in the fall of 2024? What do you want us to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? And I challenge you today, folks, just to take the next step and watch when we do baptism. The young people and the ones that are older alike, the sound of freedom that comes out when they are baptized, and transformed lives of freedom in the house at Cross Point Church. Let's prepare our hearts for baptism this morning. I need a mic. I know. Thank you. Pastor Amber, would you like to come on out here? Folks, this is Pastor Amber Greenwald.
Hello. This is my friend Maceo, and Maceo is getting baptized today. Maceo, why are you getting baptized today?
Because I love Jesus.
Yeah. So Maceo has chosen to follow Jesus.
Have a side of the tank.
Yep, let's go.
Can you hold this for me?
Yep.
We ask everybody to sign their name on our baptismal tank. We started doing this a couple years ago. Maceo, if you would grab that, and anywhere you want, just sign your name. You can go back here. It's getting kind of full, but you can just put your name anywhere you want. First name, last name, any name. And put the date. Pastor Emmer, does he know the date? Okay. June 57. Okay. Awesome. Awesome, Maceo. Thank you. What a pastor.
It's hot?
Oh, it's perfect. It's 107. It's nice and warm. You gonna sit down? Sit down. Sit down on your back end. There you go. There you go. All the way down. He's gone.
I got you. I'm not gonna let you.
They say you can do it. You can do it.
I got you, honey.
Comes grandma. Grandma will help you. What's that? Aunt. Oh, wow. Maceo got scared. He wanted to be baptized so bad.
Hang on, just give it a second. Okay.
You just don't want to go under? Is that what it is? Do you want to go under yourself?
Hold your nose.
You want to do it yourself, Maceo?
Just hold your nose. Hold your nose.
Turn around. You can do it yourself.
You can do it yourself.
You can do it yourself.
Yeah. Even if you have a washcloth.
Hold my
on
hand.
Your eyes. Is that what you, do you want a washcloth?
Just close your eyes. Close your eyes.
I'm right here.
Yes.
Nothing will happen.
No. Here, sweetheart. Hold my hand. I'm not going to let you be under there
for
one
second.
Happen.
One in, one out. Remember we said?
Yeah. Close your nose like this so you don't breathe in no water. Trust me, buddy.
That's okay, Amber.
Can I put water over his head?
Yeah. That's okay.
You want to watch other people do it first and maybe change your mind? No?
It's okay.
Aw. Let Maceo know how much you appreciate him, though. We're going to move to the adults now. I think Olivia is going next. Olivia, is that you? Come on. This is Olivia. Face to everybody. I'm going to give you a chance to talk a little bit, give a quick little testimony into the microphone,
okay,
and introduce yourself.
Okay. Hi, I'm Olivia. I just wanted to show everyone that I'm dedicating my life to God. Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Sign the tank.
Okay. Just,
yep, sign the tank. Liv is going to sign the tank anywhere you like. And date it if you would. Thank you. Got lots of chlorine in here today, Olivia. All right, hop on in there. Face everybody, please. Sit down, scoot up a little bit. She's not quite disappeared yet, right? Remember what we talked about?
Yep.
Olivia, on the confession of your faith that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Awesome. Carrie Green is next. Nick, do you have the microphone for Carrie? She's got the microphone for you. Right there, right here. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself, quick little testimony.
My name is Carrie Green, and I wish I would have felt the way I do right now about Jesus and walking with him that I did when my kids were younger, and I wish I could have brought that to my family that I do now, but I'm starting now. I feel that this church and a lot of churches saved me when I was sick, and the prayer and everything, and God wants me around because I shouldn't have lived through some of the stuff that happened last year with me being sick, and I'm just very grateful. I'm very grateful to everybody and very grateful to him, and Maceo is one of the reasons I believe that I'm here to help and just help and my family, and I'm just glad that we can all be stronger through the church.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Carrie, grab the marker on the front of the tank and sign it wherever you like and put the date on there. All kinds of room on this side if you want to do it up here or stay over there, that's fine. All kinds. So the whole side over here is open.
Okay.
No, it's you'll get the first side, right? Pick a side, right? Many of you here at this church know that Carrie has navigated some extensive physical challenges here recently, and by the grace of God, she's even here today. By the grace of God, yes. Remember, it's been roughly a year or so. I saw her at the hospital in Cleveland, and it was touch and go, folks. It was touch and go. But today, we're going to baptize you, right?
Yes.
All right. Ready? Yes. Just like that, yes. Hallelujah. What a powerful moment. Don't baptize yourself. Just give me a second, okay? Carrie, a profession of your faith that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You did it.
I did it.
You did it. Let her know, folks. She did it. You want to go again?
No.
Okay. Thank you so much. All righty. Who is next? Is that you, Jessica? Jessica Grimm? I had a microphone, and I'm not sure what happened to it. I'm going to give it back. There it is. My trusty assistant. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
I'm Jessica Grimm. I actually came here from Eastwood Springs, and I've come through domestic violence. I have been baptized multiple times, just have strayed from the path, and then I found this church, and I can call it my home. I have a beautiful daughter that came from the domestic violence relationship, but I love her. She is my angel. I have a wonderful boyfriend, technically husband, that supports me in what I'm doing and supports the church. And I thank God that he brought me here among everybody here. and my best friend, who's going to be next. And I just thank God for what he did in my life.
Amen. Amen. You would sign the tank anywhere with a date. We'd appreciate that. Jessica has navigated quite the road to get here. Quite the road. And we are so happy for her today that she finally gets to get baptized. A public proclamation of your faith, right? Hop yes. in there.
If I slip and fall, y'all can laugh.
You're not going to fall. Okay. All right, Jessica, because you have confessed Jesus Christ as Savior of your life, it is an honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, right. It's always our heart. Jennifer. Thank you. Here's a story, right?
Hi, my name is Jen Maley, and I'm wanting to be baptized today to show my willingness to follow Jesus and how much I love him and follow the path he has set forth for me.
Amen. Amen. You signed the tank. Put your date on there. Many of us around this church know her story as well, that she's been in the hospital so many times, and some of those times we didn't know if we were going to see her again on this side of heaven, but the Lord had a divine purpose for your life, right? Amen. Hop right in there. Jennifer, because you confessed Jesus Christ, the Savior of your life, boy, is this an honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One more, Charles. Come on out here, young man. Want to leave the towel with my wife? She'll take care of that for you. Charles
yes.
is fairly new to our church,
yeah.
and now he's here all the time, right?
Amen. Oh, yeah.
Amen. Yes, give us a little story about yourself, Charles.
Well, I'm just, you know, doing this to get a stronger faith in God and a cleaner path on the right road, because I was on the bad road for a while, and that's about it.
Awesome, awesome. Take that, sign your name anywhere, put the date on there. I remember when Charles, a few months ago, showed up. He came up early, it was quite early, I think, and he has been here faithfully ever since. Every time we have the doors open, Charles is here. He's been volunteering throughout the church. I think it's just getting wet. Why don't you come back here somewhere? We're splashing so much, Charles. Yeah, try something back here. He has been such a faithful attender. There you go. When you get through six or seven of these, the tank's getting wet. That'll work. That'll work. Thank you, Charles. All right. Hop in there. Charles asked me if he was allowed to swim in here, and I said no.
See,
have a seat. It's not too bad. Charles, I just love it. He brings swimsuit, right? Oh, Charles, it is just an honor because of your profession of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. What an honor to to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I see Maceo back there, but I don't think he's going forward. Okay. Folks, that's the sound of freedom. It's the sound of freedom. I thank God for the sound of freedom. I thank God that the Apostle Paul wrote about being free, for the one that he sets free is what? Free indeed. Stand with me and let's go out of Cross Point Church today thanking God that there's sounds of freedom in the house and you and I have been set free. God bless you.